Blog Talk Radio.
My God is real. He is real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, I can feel He made me whole. His love for me, it is like to go. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. There are some things that I may not know. There are some places that I just can't go. But one thing for sure, my God is real. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Macedonian Call around the globe. I'm Sister Joanna Green with my husband here, Brother Evangelist Clint Green. And we are rejoicing today, the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God. This is July the 5th. And yesterday was our Independence Day here in America. And praise God, that's our subject tonight is freedom and liberty. And how many know we've got that in God? Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we've got many prayer requests coming in, and we'll turn those in as we go, and we'll pray over those toward the end of the broadcast. And I see a few callers here tonight, and we'll have 706 come in, tell us who you are and where you're located.
Sister Green is Frieda Litchfield in Thomaston, Georgia.
Hi, Sister Frieda. Praise God. We've been missing you, sis.
I know. It's just been one thing or another. But can I give you some prayer requests before you go to next one? One of the members is named Robin, and her daughter Marcy and Stacy, and her sister Mary Hobbs. Let's keep them all in prayer tonight.
Amen. We sure will. You want to obey the Lord, sis? We're on liberty and freedom. You want to say anything about that?
I do. I won't
go
take
right
too
ahead.
Long, but, here's what I got. I'm going to be reading from Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth my life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so hath he removed our transgression from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so it flourishes. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children children. To such as keep this covenant, and to those that remember his commandment to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandment, hearken to the voice of his word. Bless you the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, and all places of his dominion. And I got three more, and then I'll let somebody else come. The next one's going to be John 19:30. Okay. Yep, that's it. They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, he would not have delivered him unto thee. Then said Thomas to him, take ye him and judge him according to your laws. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us. Oh, that's the wrong one. Sorry. When Jesus therefore had received the vineyard, he said, it is finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. I had to write, but I was in chapter 18 instead of 19. And the next one's going to be James 1:23. Okay. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seemeth to be religious and writeth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, to keep himself unspotted from the world. And the last one's going to be 1 John 3, starting in verse 20. Here's 1 John 3:20. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then have we confidence toward God. And so whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandments. And he that keepeth his commandments dwells in him, and he in him. And hereby we know he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. Okay, back to you, Sister Green.
Amen, Sister Frieda. That goes right along with what I have tonight, similar to it. God just confirms his word all the time, over and over. Okay.
Yep.
And it fit together, you know, and that's just the way God works, because you and I haven't talked about this, and that's definitely God. And we appreciate you, sis, and stay in there with us, and we'll pray here in a bit over those requests that you sent in.
Okay,
sis. We've got 423-562. Come in and tell us who you are, where you're located.
This is Eddie Bolton from Jacksboro, Tennessee.
Praise God, Brother Eddie. Praise the Lord for the callers tonight. And Brother Eddie, you go right ahead and you obey the Lord, okay?
All right. I'd like to say that it's good to be here, and I'd like to say that I thank God for the freedom that God has given us in Christ Jesus tonight. I thank God for the freedom that God has given us in this nation that we've got, that we can come together as children of God, and we can worship God, that we can come on together on the radio, on this broadcast, and on the radio and on TV if the opportunity is there, that we can share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because in a lot of nations they can't do that because of the government, because of the enmity against Christianity. But I'm going to read a little bit out of the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, and I'm going to read about right now. Well, let me just start. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God give us his Spirit tonight, that the fullness, that the law that he gave might be fulfilled in us, that we can walk in the righteousness of God tonight, and that we can be made righteous by the shed blood of Jesus. And brother, I'll tell you tonight that God has given his Spirit to us, and he said that his Spirit, he sent his Spirit into the heart, crying, Abba, Father. And God has given us his Spirit, that his Spirit may live in us and may live through us, and help us that we can walk to the righteousness of God and be free from sin and condemnation, that God, our brother, has not condemned us, for he's not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of peace and of power and a sound mind. But he's not given us condemnation here. He said that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. And brother, he's given us life tonight, and he's given us life, and that more abundantly. The Bible said in John 10:10 that he said, I'm come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. The thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And God has given us life tonight, and brother, we've got life on this side of eternity, that we can live in peace, and we can have the joy of the Lord in our heart, and there might be problems arise in our life, and brother, in our that would just get us down, but you know, because Christ lives in our heart, and he keeps us lifted up, and he keeps us encouraged tonight. And brother, I'll tell you what the Bible said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And brother, I want you to know that Christ is with us no matter where we're at, no matter where we go, that he's there with us, and he set us free. Bless God, we can go. The Bible said all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient for me. And brother, I want you to know today that Christ has made us free from the bondage of sin. Brother, bondage will cause you to get out here and do the sin will cause you to get out here and do things you ought not to do. It'll cause you to get out and get drunk. It'll cause you to get out and get on drugs. It'll cause you to get out and to do all kinds of things that's completely immoral and that's sinful before the Lord. But thank God tonight, by that Spirit of life living in us, it'll cause us to walk in freedom. It'll cause us to walk in this life. And brother, we won't get out here and do all these other things. It's like that song that Joanna sings at the beginning of the program, saying there's just some places I can't go. And brother, I used to go to all of these places, and I used to do all of these things, but thank God tonight, God took that away from me. He put the Spirit of life down in me. Brother, that Spirit of life, abundant life, and I quit going to them places. I didn't have to go out anymore and pick me up a bottle of liquor to get high on and feel good. But bless God, I began begin to feel good. When the spirit of life come into my heart, I begin to feel good. I begin to feel lifted up. And bless God, it's been different ever since then. Oh, listen, the spirit of the law and death, the law of sin and death, it brings forth death. It brings forth death and sin. It brings forth death when it's finished. Oh, to know tonight that sin is a thing that is in the, anybody's nature once they're born, before they're born again. When they're born into this world, they've got a sinful nature, and that sin will cause them to walk in a way, bless God, that they ought not to walk in. But I'll tell you tonight, he said, being made free from sin, you have become the servants of righteousness, Romans 6:18. Brother, he said here that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Brother, when we begin to walk after the Spirit, and you've heard me quote this many times, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And when we're led by the Spirit of God, we're led into the things of God, and we're led into them things, and we walk into things of God. We talk of the things of God, and we live in the things of God, because God has sent him as a teacher into us. He'll teach us the things that we are to do. He'll give us understanding of his word, and his word will tell us what we can do or what we can't do. Brother, I want you to know tonight that for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Brother, when you begin to walk after Christ, when the Spirit of life comes into your heart, you begin to mind the things of Christ. You want to learn the things of Christ. You get hungry for the things of Christ. Brother, the Bible says, I believe it's in the 5th chapter of Matthew, says, for he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. And brother, I'll tell you tonight, when you begin to hunger, when you begin to get thirsty, and you begin to get hungry for the things of God, bless God, you begin to want to know, and you begin to pray and seek God, and you begin to get into your Bible and begin to read and begin to hunt. Bless God, you begin to be filled up with the things of God. And when you begin to be filled with the things of God, honey, you'll begin to walk. The Bible said, for where your treasure is, your heart will be, or where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Jesus went out one day, and him and his disciples, his apostles, they come up into Samaria, and they come up to Jacob's well, and there was a woman sitting there, and Jesus sent the apostles into the town to buy food, and while Jesus sent a woman come up to get water, and Jesus told her, said, if you'd have asked me, I would have given you water that you'd have never thirsted again. And she said, how can you give me the drink when you've got nothing to draw with? But Jesus wasn't talking of natural water. He said, if you drank of this water, he said, you'll thirst again. But he said, I'll give you a drink of water that there'll be a water springing up into eternal life in you. And bless God, I want you to know, he began to trigger a hunger in her. And he sat there and he told her, he said, go call your husband. And she said, I have no husband. He said, no, said, you had 5 husbands and the one you have now is not your own. Oh, he said, in this said, you speak truly. Oh, listen to me today. Jesus was interested in giving her, bless God, this abundant life. Brother, I wonder at times if Jesus went out there at this particular place and this particular time just to run into this woman that he might lead her to himself and give her salvation. She was a Samaritan woman, and the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans, but Jesus saw her. He saw her need, because no doubt down in her heart there was a hunger there. There was a thirst there that needed to be filled up. Oh, listen to
old chap, if you're looking after something that's blowing, that you're looking for the peace of God, there's one way to get it tonight, and that's look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, and when you begin to call on him and you begin to talk to him about it, bless God, he'll begin to fill you up. Brother, I want you to know this woman, after Jesus got done talking to her, she went into the city and said, come and see a man that told me all things that I've done. And brother, I want you to know they began to come out and listen to him. And they told her, said, now we believe not because of what you told us, but because of the things that what he told us.
Amen.
First after righteousness. Bless God, whenever anybody begins to hunger and thirst after righteousness, they'll begin to seek and they'll begin to search after the thing that they're hungering for. Brother, when you get hungry for food, you start looking for something to eat. When you start hungering for food in your spirit, you begin to look for something to fill that up. And I'm here to tell you tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ, honey, will fill that hunger up. He'll
Amen.
Fill that hunger up, and you'll never get hungry again. Brother, you'll fill that thirst up, and you'll never thirst again. He'll give you a water. Brother, that down in your belly, he said, shall flow rivers of living water. And brother, this water will bring up into eternal life. And you'll not only have joy and peace on this side of eternity, but when you come to the time that it's your time to leave this life, and brother, it comes time that you got to lay your body down and go on into eternity, there'll be a place on the other side waiting, because Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And he said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And brother, I want you to know tonight that you'll be in peace and joy there, and it'll have no end. You might say, brother, I would, but I have it so hard down here. Brother, it's not about whether you have it hard or whether you have it easy. It's about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart. It's about getting this water down in your spirit. It's about getting this food down in your spirit, that you might come to Christ, that you might be filled up with the things of God. Honey, that you might be filled with the food of God. It's just like Jesus said, if you'd ask of me, I'd give you a drink of water that you'd have never thirsted again. Brother, he's waiting right now to give a drink of water to whosoever will. He said in one place, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Oh, listen to me, folks. He said, for they that are after the flesh, this is verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Brother, if you're not saved tonight, brother, then the only thing you can be after is the things of the flesh. But if you've got a spiritual mind tonight, if you're saved tonight, brother, you can go after the spiritual things, and brother, you can receive of the spiritual things from God. Oh, listen to me tonight. There's things tonight, brother, that you get that won't do you any good. But these spiritual things tonight, this spiritual water I'm talking about, and this spiritual food that I'm talking about, it'll fill you up. It'll make you happy. Brother, it'll make you just feel so good in your spirit. I know it's not about feeling good, but brother, the reason it feels good is because it's received by faith. You might say, what is faith, brother? It's the substance of things hoped for, or the evidence of things not seen. And you might say, well, I love the house of that faith. Brother, the Bible says, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Brother, brother, I want you to know when you believe the gospel, when you believe the preaching of the word of God, brother, there is faith imparted unto you, and you can receive that tonight. All you got to do is believe that Jesus died for you, that he rose again on that third and appointed morning, brother, and that faith will be imparted unto you, brother, and you'll have that faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith comes by believing that Jesus died and rose again. Brother, when it's preached to you, brother, and you believe it, it's imparted unto you. Brother, God gives you the measure of faith, and that measure of faith is what you need tonight to receive from God. It said, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. There's so many people today going about trying to please God and doing so one thing or trying to do another thing. A lot of people called it doing things by works or doing work to please God, but let me tell you what, honey, we can't do enough works to please God to get born again. We please God when we believe that Jesus come and that he died and rose again. Jesus said, this is the work of him that sent me, that you believe on him whom he has sent. And he's talking about himself. Brother, that's how that this faith comes. It's simple tonight. The Bible says that it's a way so simple that a wayfaring man, though he was blind, he would not err therein. That's the reason a blind person can live a Christian life, because it's the Spirit of Christ comes in through that faith, and they can be led by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God will lead them. He'll lead them. It's like Paul said in one place. He said, it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. Christ has given us his Spirit tonight. Brother, he's given us his Spirit, that if we'll just desire to go on, the Bible says, if we'll delight ourselves in the Lord. This is Psalms 37:4. He said, if we'll delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our heart. Brother, God wants to fill us up with his food tonight. Back yonder, whenever that God brought Moses and the children of Israel out of Egypt with a high hand, they got out there and they didn't have any food. Brother, and God began to rain manna down on them 6 days a week. And then on the 5 days, he'd give them enough for each day. But on the 6th day, he would give them enough to last the 6th and the 7th day, and God took care of them. He gave them food for the natural body. Bless God, I want you to know tonight, you might say, I'm in need tonight. I want to tell you what, if you'll begin to believe God and begin to call upon the name of the Lord, God will hear your cry. He'll hear you and he'll answer you, but you're going to have to ask him. He said, to ask and you shall receive, to seek and you shall find. He said, knock and the door shall be opened. For to him that asketh he receiveth, and to him that seeketh he findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Honey, God is wanting to move for you. He's wanting to give you some of this spiritual food. He's wanting to give you some of this spiritual water, that you might grow thereby. The Bible said, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you might grow thereby. And when you begin to get into the Word of God, and the Word of God begins to get into you, you'll begin to grow in the things of God. You'll begin to grow, and you'll begin, it just like when you was a little baby. After you was born, you was fed milk until you got big enough to take regular food, and then your mother began to feed you regular food. And brother, and then after you begin to eat regular food, you continue to eat it, and you continue to grow. And it's the same thing with God tonight. When we desire the sincere milk of the Word, and we begin to eat the sincere milk of the Word, bless God, we'll begin to grow until we can get to the place to receive the meat of the Word of God. And when we begin to receive the meat of the Word of God, we'll begin to gain gain strength, we'll begin to grow, and we'll begin to mature, and we'll begin to receive from God. Oh, listen, I'm just wanting to tell you tonight how to receive from God. Brother, let's call on his name. Brother, he said, because the carnal mind, let me back up, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it cannot be subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Brother, this carnal mind tonight that people's got, they wonder why God never hears them. They wonder why that they got the emptiness down in them, and it needs something needs to be in there. Honey, that place is for God to be, and that carnal mind is when you, it's an enemy of God. Brother, God is good. He wants us to have a spiritual mind, but when we have a carnal mind, we can't please God. We've got to have a spiritual mind, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, in verse 7. In verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Brother, I want you to know tonight that when you walk in the flesh, brother, you can't please God. When you walk in the flesh, you can't learn about the things of God because of the being carnal-minded, because God can't teach a carnal-minded person anything. I'm not talking about you're pointing a finger tonight at anybody, but I'm talking about a brother being carnally-minded. And brother, when you're carnally-minded, you care more about the world than you do the things of God. But once you will get saved, once you anybody's saved, and they begin to get their mind on the Lord, they've got a spiritual mind. He said, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now listen to this verse 9 here. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Oh, listen to me. Whenever the Spirit of God comes and moves in, brother, you're no longer in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. You might say, how does that work? I don't understand a lot of things. I just know that when the Spirit of God comes in, brother, and you let him take over your entire being, bless God, you'll begin to think the things that you ought to think. You'll begin to talk the talk you ought to talk. You'll begin to do the things you ought to do, brother, because of the Spirit of God, because it's no longer you, but it's God that's living down in you. Oh, listen to me. I have had a boy. I've got a boy that's locked up, and he said, I asked God to come into my heart. He said, I didn't feel anything that night, but he said the next morning I could feel him down in my heart. Honey, I'm telling you, it's not by feelings, and I know it's not by feelings, but, brother, because of the faith that anybody has that will ask God to come into their heart through the Lord Jesus Christ, honey, you can tell that God's down there. You can know for sure that God is real, and you don't have to have nobody to tell you. You don't have to ask somebody if God is real or if God is down in your heart, because you'll know, and it will witness with the Scriptures, or if you want to say it, the Scripture will witness with you. Oh, listen to me, said here, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Oh, listen, said, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwells in you. Brother, God's wanting to quicken you tonight and make you alive, brother, and wants you to follow him. And all you've got to do is call on his name. He said, whoever would call on the name of the Lord shall be free. But God has set us free from sin and death tonight. God has set us free from the bondage of sin. God has made us free. He gave us liberty tonight. The Bible said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. He gives us liberty tonight to be able to walk after the things of God. I tell you what, tonight, folks, it's so good to be able to sit on this broadcast and to be able to preach the gospel to as many people as will hear it. Oh, listen to me tonight, folks. Don't let this night go by without calling on the Lord. Don't let this night, you might say, I'm in need, and that's what I've been preaching about. If you're in need tonight, call on the Lord. And if you're not saved tonight, get saved and call on him and ask him to meet your need, to take care of your need, whatever it is. He said he would answer you. He said he would answer you. May God bless you is my prayer. Sister Green, go ahead. Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Amen. We sure appreciate you, Brother Eddie, and that, again, good word. And if you want to be part of this broadcast and you want to call in, I encourage you to call in. There's a number that keeps coming in, and I don't know if they lose signal, but it's our number is 347-989-8862, and you're welcome to call in and share a testimony or prayer request or whatever you may have. If you want to reach us by email, he is risen38@aol.com, and at this moment, we're going to have Rachel come in and read her scripture.
The Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, covering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Acceptable year of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We've got several prayer requests coming in, and Sister Frida, she gave a lot of prayer requests there. We need to remember them. Sister Tanya Prater, she has a special prayer request for her. Also, Elizabeth Irving, she gave a praise report. Her husband, Brother Eddie, is much better. They have a special unspoken request, if you'll remember that. She said she appreciates that. And also, Nick Sargent, he says to please pray for his mother. She is visiting there from Kentucky, there in Georgia, and she misses her husband. He passed away a little over a month ago. Her name is Jewel, so remember her. Also remember Jimmy Black, his granddaughter is in ICU in Atlanta. Remember Brother Nick's household, and remember the little church, and remember his mission, his ministry, him and Brother Tony. And remember that. Brother Tim Hall says to pray for us to have important situations coming up this week that we need done, they need God to answer. Also pray for Sister Frida's dad. He has another dialysis tomorrow. His levels need to drop considerably. He just had a kidney removed of cancer, and praise the Lord that he come through that, and just pray for him. And Sister Regina Collins says, say a prayer for her. She's having pain in her foot. And Sister Bonnie Burke says to keep her granddaughter-in-law that is in the hospital in prayer. She has an irregular heartbeat, and she is due with a child in about a week. So remember her. Sister Cora Reed, she also says to pray. She's having breathing problems. She needs a touch from God. She also has a praise report. She says, you laid hands on me once and prayed. I felt God touch me, and I believe I would have lost my leg without your praying for me. So praise God for that. Praise the Lord. And at this time, we're going to have, I don't see that caller come back there. Brother John, 770-584, come in, brother, and just obey God. Praise the Lord, Brother John. Brother Yearwood, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Praise God, brother. Go ahead and obey God. He may be having trouble with his telephone.
Okay, well, we got several prayer requests we need to turn in here first, sister.
Amen. Go ahead, brother.
Well, Sister Joanna, good to be
Hi.
Back. We have Larry. He says he needs God to move in some situations for him. Philip, Faith, Charity, Tony, and Deidre, Salvation. Our grandson, Murphy, is facing surgery. If God don't move for him, he needs his legs and feet straightened out. So just pray that God will touch him. And Debbie Samples, let's remember her, her feet. And let's believe with Pearl Phillips that God's going to heal her of that cancer. And Bob and Clara Hicks still need a miracle in their life. And Kay Hurd, leukemia.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Appreciate that. Appreciate the opportunity to come your way once again just to lift up the name of Jesus. And I got tuned in a little bit late there, about 10 minutes late, and I don't know how much of this it's already been covered, but anyway, I'm going to be reading tonight from the 8th chapter of St. John, if I can. My voice is still trying to mess up with me. And I'm going to start in verse 32 and read down through our, through about 36, I guess. I believe I'll start in verse 31.
Yep.
Then okay. said Jesus to these, those Jews which believe on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answers them, verily, verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever, forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, he shall be free indeed. You know, I was just thinking there tonight whenever I was studying on this, Jesus is telling his disciples there how to be free. And, you know, we just read the Word of God there, and if his Word abide in us, then we're free and we're his disciples. But if his word don't abide in us, then we're not his disciples. We'll not abide in the house forever. But praise God, if we will let the word of God abide in us. You know, the scripture says if his word abide in us, and whatever we ask, that he would do it for us. And you know, he's telling us over there, praise God, that his word is he. And whatever that we ask him and believe, he's going to do it for us. And you know, I just praise God tonight that we can know beyond every shadow of a doubt that we are free. You know, as I believe I heard Brother Eddie say a while ago, he didn't have to go to the places that he used to go. Praise God. I tell you what, I don't have to either, because I'm Amen. Free from that place. I'm not bound no more by sin, because Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, come into my life. He changed me. As Paul said over there, behold, all old things passed away, and I've become a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm not the same Lloyd that I used to be, because I am, as I believe I heard Brother Green say, I might have been on my broadcast there Tuesday night, that he wasn't his own no more. He was bought with a price. Praise God, if we are bought with that price, precious blood, that precious life, that hung on the cross, my friends, we are free from the sins of law and sin and death.
Amen.
Because he tells us that he's made us free from the law of sin and death, because he come into our life. He changed us. He's made us a new person anymore. A new name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise God. The old man has done, done buried, done away with. We are a new creature. We are a disciple of God. We are the person that the Lord has made us to be. And I tell you what, his word, if his word abide in us, we can ask whatsoever we will, and that he would do it for us. Praise God. I look right here in John. Praise God. John 15 and verse 7. It says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Praise God. That lets me know tonight, if I ask God anything, I know that his words live down in me. I know that I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah. I know that I'm a disciple of the Lord. If anything I ask him, he's going to hear me, because he tells us over in 1 John, he said he heard our prayers. Praise God, if he hears us, and we know that we asked him of anything, he's going to do it for us. I tell you what, it's time that God's people realize that we are free. We're free indeed, hallelujah, from the sins of this world. We don't have to do the things that we used to have to do. We don't have to go the places that we used to have to go, because, hallelujah, I've been bought with a price. I've been bought with the blood of Jesus. He crucified. They crucified him on the earth for between heaven and earth for me and you. And praise God, if you're bound to sin, if you're bound to alcohol, all you've got to do is ask the Lord to come into your life and to drop alcohol. If you're bound to cigarettes, all you got to do is come in and ask the Lord to deliver you from that nicotine fit, and God will do it, because he did it for me. He set me free. I'm talking about being free, hallelujah, from the sins of this world. I tell you what, people need to realize everything that's in their life that's not pleasing to God, they need to get sanctified from it. They need to get delivered from it, because Jesus, hallelujah, I can't imagine how Jesus is going around with a cigarette in his jaw or a dip of snuff in his lip. I remember how he was without any sin at all. He became sin that I could be saved. Praise God. He bought us with a price, and he hung on the cross. Praise God. I tell you what, I just love this word. I love it, because this is my life. Hallelujah. This word here, praise God. Let's look right here again in verse 36 in the 8th chapter of St. John, verse 36. It said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. You know, praise God, I know that he made me free. I know that he delivered me from the sins of this world. I know, praise God, that he took cure of me. Let's look over into Second Corinthians. Praise God. Hallelujah. Second Corinthians, let me find it here. 3:17 says, Now the Lord is the Spirit, and now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hallelujah. Where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty.
Yeah.
Where the Spirit of God's at, hallelujah, he will set us free. Praise God. Whatever that we have a trouble in, whatever that we have a need of, he'll set us free because, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah. He will deliver us, hallelujah.
Amen.
I think it's over in Psalm someplace or other. He says that he would deliver us out of all of our troubles. Hallelujah. I'm glad tonight to know that I'm a servant of man that has all power in heaven and earth. I'm serving the one that any troubles come my way, he will deliver me. All I've got to do is cry out to him and say, Lord, here I am. David over there, he cried out to him. And David got delivered from all of his troubles. Hallelujah. You and I tonight, my friend, we're serving the same God. All we got to do is cry out to him and say, Lord, deliver me. Hallelujah.
Bless him, Lord.
Amen.
We'll just cry out to him. He hears us. A lot of times whenever I'm praying, I just feel led of God. Just say, Lord, I know that you hear me. I know that whenever I call upon you, you're going to answer. Hallelujah. And God always comes through. It may not be whenever I'm expecting it, but he'll come through. God always comes through and meet my need. He always comes through and takes care of me. I praise God because I know that he has made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Let's go back over. Praise God, over to John, 8th chapter. And let's see here. Verse 37. And I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my words have no place in you. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus is saying. That's what he told them. He said, you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. You know, praise God, God has a place. If we will let him come into our life and we can go with him, and God will hear our cry, and he will make us free. He done told us that we were free from I believe Romans, let's look at Romans 8, 8th chapter of Romans. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ought to have these scriptures. Look, 8th chapter of Romans, and verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's no more condemnation in us. Hallelujah. In verse 2 it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. I tell you what, God's word is very plain to us. And I'm glad tonight to know that I've been set free. I'm glad
Amen.
Tonight to know that I can feel in my spirit and I feel in my life, praise God, that everything is free. Hallelujah.
Bless
I just
Lord.
Praise God for it. Hallelujah. I feel God's presence right here now.
Yes, amen.
So strong that I can hardly stand it. But I'm just going to shut up and get over and listen. And God bless all of you. I appreciate you. Tune in and listen to us on Tuesday night. And just pray, you know, from 6 until 8, that God will stir the hearts of people. And I'd like to say Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, we're going to be at Varnell, Georgia, Full Gospel. Down there where Brother Willie is the pastor. And I'd like to invite everybody in that area to come around and be with us, just expecting something from God. I tell everybody always, don't look for Lloyd Yearwood, but look to God. Look beyond me, and we'll see what God will do. So God bless you, and appreciate you, Brother and Sister Green, for giving me this opportunity to obey God.
Praise God, Brother Yearwood. That's good preaching there, and you brought memories back. I remember my mother's testimony, how the Lord delivered her from cigarettes. And you know, that's the Lord, when He sets us free, He sets us free. And I remember many years growing up, Mom would smoke, and I remember her trying to, all she could do, many different things she tried to quit, and she just could not quit. And you know, when she gave her heart to God that very night, you know, I wish she would tell her testimony. It was awesome. But God will set you free. He sure will. He will set you free indeed. And He'll deliver you from things. He'll deliver the drug addict. He'll deliver the alcoholic. He'll deliver the nicotine. He'll deliver all that. And He'll set us free so we can serve Him without sin in our life. And that's when we're free. And you know, a lot of people say that we go into bondage, that we go under law. And that how the new covenant with Jesus is grace, and that pretty much we could do anything we want as long as we've accepted and believed that Christ died on the cross. But you know, He finished it at the cross, and He had to do. But there's things that we have to do, and we have to submit to Him. And if we love Him, like Sister Frieda said, to keep His commandments and not do sin. And when He set us free, He really set us free. And you know, it's a life that I want to live. That I believe, Brother Yearwood, you were saying that this is your life. And this is my life. This is Brother Green's life. Brother Eddie, Brother John, Sister Betty, Timothy. This is our life. We love it.
Amen.
We'd rather sit here on a Friday night and share the gospel with 113,000 people. And it's 113,000 something people that we are sharing the gospel with, and no boasting or glory to us, but glory to God, that He would set us free, that we would love Him enough, that we want to tell you that you can have that freedom. You're looking for something in a drug, or you're looking for something in alcohol, and you're looking for something to fill of emptiness. Maybe you've been hurt in your life and, as a child, and you know, but that's no excuse as an adult for your past, of what happened to you, of why you're living the way you are today. That's no excuse. You know, Jesus came that you could have life and have it more abundantly. And like Brother Eddie was saying, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And He wants to destroy you. But Jesus will fill that void. He'll give you that feeling. And like Brother Eddie said, it's not all about feeling, but praise God, there's a whole lot about this and feeling. Jesus wept. Jesus was tired. He was weary of His journey. Jesus had feeling in this. And we have feeling in this. And what a joy we feel. A joy unspeakable. Praise God. And Brother John, once you come on in, I don't know if you're back now, but can you hear me, Brother John?
Yeah, I can hear you, sister.
Praise God. Go ahead and obey the Lord, Brother John.
Thank you, Lord. Tonight we're talking about freeing the Lord Jesus Christ. And God began to deal with me this afternoon as Brother Green left me a message this afternoon, and that we were going to be speaking on liberty and freedom tonight. And God began to deal with me out of Isaiah 61. And this is telling us by the prophet Isaiah, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." This is talking about on the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the reason why. Because The Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Tonight, if you are a part of the meek, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 that the meek shall inherit the earth. Amen. Matthew 5:5 says the meek shall inherit the earth. So as God begins, the Spirit of the Lord God, the Holy Spirit is upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and it became upon him because he's been anointed. He has a flowing. Amen. There's a liberty in this anointing of the Spirit of God. That's upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He began to speak his word unto the meek so that the meek could inherit this new earth, this new surrounding, this new restoration that the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, he himself was bringing, amen. Because when Jesus comes into a man, all things become new. God doesn't leave one thing. And even tonight, amen, and we know in the Middle East, amen, even at the time that before they pour in the new wine, which is a representation of his Spirit, the bottle has to be new, amen. The vessel has to be new. And the vessel is made new by the Spirit of the Lord. Then the Bible says, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and the reason it was upon him that he has sent, amen, amen, hallelujah, to bind up the brokenhearted. Anyone there tonight, as the Word of God goes out, it will bind up the brokenhearted. You have this promise tonight. You have, amen, this liberty tonight that even though your heart has been broken, the Spirit of the Lord God will bind up that broken heart, and amen, and it will set, amen, hallelujah. Not only will it bind up the broken heart, but the Bible says to proclaim liberty to the captive. Everyone that is in captive and in anything, in captive into sin, captive into drugs, captive, amen, it's illicit, the fame, that anyone that is a captive tonight, there's a proclamation of liberty, amen, hallelujah, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and by his word, and by his anointing, amen, and the opening of prison to them that are bound, amen, as he begins to proclaim this liberty, amen, to the captive, there's a liberty to set free. You know, we find, amen, that to proclaim the acceptable of the Lord. It's not only to proclaim liberty to the captive. Every captive shall be set free. Everyone, the proclamation of liberty. So we celebrated here in America yesterday, amen, Independence Day, and where they made a declaration of independence. The Word of God is the declaration of independence, of independently, and amen, from death tonight. And praise God as he proclaims liberty, amen, that as America separated to celebrate a liberty, that as Christians we can celebrate a life of liberty, amen, hallelujah, amen, it's a celebration, amen, that's brought forth by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the opening of prison to them that are bound. We need to know tonight that the Spirit of the Lord God not only proclaims liberty to every captive, to whatever we're captivated in, but to open to the prison to them that are bound. Whatever you're bound by tonight, the Bible says that in Matthew chapter 16 that he will give unto us the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This was given unto them after there was a proclamation and after the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, began to speak to Peter and ask, who do men say that I am? Men began to say that he was John the Baptist. Some said he was Jeremiah. Amen. And some said, but he said, he asked Peter, whom do you say that I am? And tonight, church, I would ask you this. Whom do you say that he is? I say that he's the liberator. I say that Spirit that will set you free. I say that he is that one that will bind up the broken heart. I say that he will proclaim liberty to every captive. I say that he will open the doors of every prison to them that are bound. Whatever you're bound by tonight, set to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's the year of jubilee. That's the year of the release. That's the Father's release. Amen. And there was a time, amen, it talks about in Jeremiah chapter 34, talks about the serving, amen, that time of serving, amen. Amen. Serving your brother, amen, in debt, amen, and serving there for 6 years, but on the seventh year it'll be released. But the Lord Jesus Christ prophetically speaking by the prophet Isaiah, he's talking about the year of jubilee, or the year of the release, amen. He's proclaiming, amen, a year of release. Everyone of you that needs the sound of my voice, the Lord Jesus Christ is proclaiming your liberty, your time of release from sin, from death, from bondage. Amen. From religion, and I'm talking about religion, there's only one true, amen, there's only one true God, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I took the appointment in them that morning, Zion. There's an appointing, and there was an anointing, and that's just, and the day of vengeance of a God. It's not only acceptable year of the Lord, the year of release of Jubilee, but it's a day of vengeance of our God. You have to know that vengeance belongs to God the Father. He said, I will repay. Amen. The Bible speaks of the woman who came to an unjust judge who did not regard God or did not regard man, but constantly, continually, she said, avenge me, avenge me, avenge me. And this unjust judge avenged it, even as we pray, amen, continually coming to the Lord. He will repay. Amen. There will be a payday. Amen. Hallelujah. And God has come, amen, with the day of vengeance of our God. Cover all that morning. Everyone here in the morning tonight, wherever you're singing, whatever time it is, I know it's different days and hours and everything else like that, but the Lord God is to comfort you that morning tonight. Amen. Whatever you're mourning about. The Bible says, from one of them to the morning Zion, you're giving them beauty tonight, beauty for ashes. You've been appointed, amen, that these ashes, amen, that are things to burn up, even though your works may burn up, amen, absolutely, but you will stand because it is built on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it says to give oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the plants of the Lord, that he might be glorified. When they see us, believers, trees, planted, not living, then God is glorified. When they see us unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, then God is glorified. In Luke chapter 4, beginning with Luke 14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit in the Galilee. And there went out a fame of him round about all the region. And it says, and he taught them God being glorified of all. How was he glorified? Because they saw him as a superman. Amen. As the righteousness of God. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there were delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, a recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture in your ears. So tonight, have you got the fulfilling of the word of God in your ears? Everything that was proclaimed in Isaiah 61, verse 1 through 3, has already come to pass. Everything, that fulfillment of that prophecy has already been fulfilled. It was fulfilled when the Lord Jesus Christ stood in the synagogue, opened the book, and declared what would be declared several years later. Tonight, we're declaring that same thing, declaring that same message. And even as Brother Yearwood and Brother and Sister Green brought out there in John chapter 8, going down, and Brother Yearwood brought it out there to verse 37. But in 1 Corinthians, says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. So there was something there that as they talked about there. Then they said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, be you for Abraham's children, do the work of Abraham. What he was saying to them, you say you're Abraham's children, but you're not the seed of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the things of your father. Then said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither from I of myself, but he sent me. Tonight, there's only one God and Father of all. And if you have animosity, if you hate Jesus, if you come against the Lord Jesus Christ, God is not your father tonight. God, Jehovah God, is not your father. For he is his father. He says, why do you not understand that in verse 42, Jesus said to him, if God were your father, you would love me, I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. In other words, I came from God, and you say God is your Father. How can you not know that I came forth from that which you say is your Father? Because they did not know him, and they did not know the Son or the Father. As Brother Yearwood brought out, the Son set him free. Amen. The Son set the servants free. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, but I no longer call you servant, but I call you friend, because greater love hath no man than this, than a man laid down his life for his friend. We became his friend, amen, just like Abraham did, amen, when we done the righteousness. He said, why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Why does people not understand the word of God? Because they have not heard the word, amen. Hallelujah, because you cannot hear his word, his distinct word. He said, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and though not the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? In other words, just like Brother Yearwood brought out in Romans, there's no condemnation. In other words, what he was saying, even though, which one of you are convincing me that I am of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. I proclaim liberty tonight. We're proclaiming liberty and we're proclaiming freedom. It only comes one way, church. It comes only by the word of God. Go ahead, Brother and Sister Green.
Praise God, Brother John. Good preaching. Hallelujah. Going to have Brother Green go ahead and obey God here, and then I may say something here in a few minutes, too.
Okay, it's good to be with you tonight. Thank you all for preaching. You've done real good there, and it's been real good so far. And I had a lot of scriptures wrote down, and you've pretty well covered most of them, praise the Lord. But I want to turn, if you have your Bible, turn to the book of Genesis in chapter 9. Praise God. Now, I want to read here. Chapter 10, and verse 8 through 10. It says here, it's talking about Nimrod. In verse 8, it said, and Cush begot Nimrod and began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh in the land of Shinar. And then I want to jump over to chapter 11 and verse 1. And it says here, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Well, the Bible tells us here in chapter 10 that Nimrod was a mighty hunter. Praise God. And he was a mighty one in the earth there in verse 8. It said in verse 9, he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod,
the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. And I was thinking, you know, how it is today. It seems like Nimrod was not trying. I've heard people say that preachers in the past, and I had a friend that was, had gone to Bible college, and he had graduated at the top of the class, and he was a very intelligent man and had the Spirit of God and prayed and fasted. And I have high confidence in him. He told me, he said, this man wasn't just out there hunting animals. He said this man was a hunting souls. And he said this, what this man was a dictator or a tyrant. And he was the kind of man that wanted to rule over people, and they were in rebellion against God. See, God had told Noah to replenish the earth, to go out after the flood, and they came out of the ark, and he said to go and replenish the earth. And they were not supposed to congregate in one big city, and they were not supposed to stay in one group, but they were supposed to scatter out abroad across the face of the earth. But, you know, they didn't do that. They got them a leader, and they started doing things their way instead of God's way. And they said, we're going to build us a city that's going to, and a tower that's going to reach into heaven. You know, people's trying to go to heaven every kind of a way, but not God's way. And we're talking about liberty today. You know, we need to pray for our president and the presidents that we have and the kings or whosoever ruling in your country where you are today. We need to pray that there'll be peace in our countries. But the only way that we can get peace is if we get the peacemaker. You know,
man,
it's not a Colt 45 or something like that. It's not some kind of artillery that people's trying to make peace with. But it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the peacemaker, praise God. And he said in his mountain, praise God, that the lamb would lay down with the lion, and you know, and the different animals and the nature of those animals would be changed. And you know, there's some people out there that's got some bad traits about them. You know, they're a different kind of people in the world, and if they've got the devil as their boss, he's just telling them to go and do things, molest little children, and go kill somebody, or tie a bomb onto yourself and go somewhere and blow up some people. And they think they're doing good by doing these things because they're listening to these voices. But these voices are the voices of devils. And just like Nimrod, I don't know. You know, I wasn't living in that day. I don't know what kind of man he was. But what we can find in the Bible, it tells us that seems like that he was... he must have been something like a dictator, a ruler of some kind. And, you know, you get you go back to Israel. Israel wanted a king. And Samuel said, you don't want a king. Said, if you get a king over you, he's going to take your young men into his army, and he's going to take your daughters in to work in the bakery, you know, and to cook for his army and all these different things. And he's going to set up a kingdom, and he's going to rule, and he's going to take what land that he wants and different things. And, you know, that's the way it is in a lot of these different countries around the world. People have set themselves up, and they become, I don't know what to call them, I guess just a boss. Probably somebody that says it's going to be this way and it's going to be my way, and if you don't do it my way, then you know, off with your head or whatever. And they try to put their type of religion on them and that kind of a thing. And I tell you, that's why America's here today, because one day they got tired of the people oppressing them and the pilgrims and them came over here in this country, and they wanted a free country where that they could worship God so that they could have liberty to worship the Lord the way that they wanted to worship Him. And as we look on the news and we see the trying to take out the Ten Commandments off of the walls and the schoolhouses, and they've already done it. They're trying to take prayer out of the school, and it's a government that needs to turn back to God, and we need to pray for our government, because I tell you, if we don't get this turned around, we're going to be right back to Babel, just like they was back in that time. And you know, God came down one day and said, He said, we're going to do something about this. Praise God. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do. Praise God. They begin to build that building. They begin to do their own thing and go their own way. And they wasn't caring about God's way, but they was going to reach the heaven some other way. Praise God. I tell you, we can't climb up some other way. The Bible says we must come in at the door. We can't get around it. We can't climb over it or go under it. We can't get into God's heaven unless we come in through Jesus Christ, the door. He said, I am the door. Praise God. He said, I'm the true vine. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. I thank God, pastors, the preachers, evangelists preaching tonight and talking about the freedom we have in Christ. See, we need to keep that freedom. Praise God. We have freedom. You know, you can lock me up in a prison house and throw away the key, but as long as I have Jesus, the old song says, I can still go free. You can't take Jesus out of the heart, I'll tell you that. You know, when you get Jesus in your heart, you get Him in there just right, I tell you, you won't want to lose this man called Christ. You won't want to lose the Spirit of Christ, because it's the best thing that's on this side of eternity, is knowing Jesus Christ and having your sins washed away by the blood of the Lamb. He died on that cross to wash our sins away. And He sent back the Spirit, trying to have a Father in our hearts. Praise God. And I think Brother John covered that pretty good. Maybe Brother Yearwood hit on that subject a little bit tonight. And praise God, Brother Eddie. And I tell you, we need Jesus more than anything that this world has to offer. They can offer you... you know, they could offer you something to try to buy what you got, but I tell you, it ain't for sale tonight. You can't buy this with silver and gold. This ain't to be bought with money. I thought about the man. He followed Peter. I think it was Peter and John who came down, prayed for them in Acts chapter 8 that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For the Bible said, as yet he was falling upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I tell you, there'd been great joy in that city. Many that were lame were healed, and unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many. And old Simon saw it going on, and he himself believed and was baptized. And when Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent the Peter and John who came down that they might pray for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Praise God. You see, there is a Holy Ghost baptism. There is a Holy Ghost, and we need it, praise God, at this hour which we're living in.
Amen.
Praise God. You know, they're changing the Bibles, and I know, I think I know why they're doing it, because it's a trick of the devil. They're changing the terminology of it. It's what they're doing, so that they can confuse people. Praise God. They can take out that baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they'll tell you, you got it when you got saved. Well, I believe you did get the Spirit of Christ, but I don't believe that you're baptized. in the Holy Ghost. John said that they're coming one after me who's mightier than I, and he said he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Praise God.
Amen.
There is a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. There's a demon of power from on high. Now, I don't know why I got on that there tonight, but I'm telling you, we can't climb to heaven any other way. We can't make some kind of a city that'll reach to heaven, some kind of a tower. The only city I know that's going to heaven is that New Jerusalem. Praise God. That's already in heaven. Praise God. It's already up there. Praise
God. Thank you, Lord.
I'm a part of that city tonight. I'm a part of the kingdom of God, and so are you if you've been born again by the Spirit of God. And if you've been washed in the blood, if you come down to the cross and humbled yourself and prayed and called upon the name of the Lord, then that'll make you a candidate for heaven. And that'll make you a candidate for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. For the promise to you, to your children, to all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call, Peter said there in Acts chapter 2. Praise God. Praise God. But old Nimrod was a mighty hunter, and he was hunting people. He was trying to get them under his jurisdiction and trying to get them under his kingdom. But thank God we're not under Nimrod's kingdom. I kind of liken him to the devil. You know, the devil's trying to run a shot over God's people and trying to dominate God's people. And it's an antichrist spirit in the world today that's turning people away from God. And there's an antichrist spirit in government. And I don't mean to, you know, stir nobody up, but I tell you, better check yourself if you thinking you're a Christian and you're passing laws that's against God. I tell
Amen.
You, better check yourself, because you might end up on the wrong side one day. One day when the books are open, and you might be standing at that great white throne judgment there, and when the books open, and another book open, which is the book of life, and you'll say, well, my name's supposed to be in that book of life, but he's going to say, I never knew you. You depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I tell you, sin will take you out of the book of life. Sin
Amen.
Will take you off from the covenant of God. Sin will put you in a far country like that young man that left his father's house and went into the hog pen and fed them hogs, and he would have ate with the swine. He got to thinking about himself, what kind of shape he was in. And he said, I'll go back to the Father's house. I'm no more worthy to be a son, but I'll just be a servant. I tell you tonight, if you're out there and backslid on God, the Lord wants you back tonight. He wants you to come home. It's time to come back home, child. It's time to come back home. Been wandering in the wilderness way too long. It's time to come back home. There's an old song, and I can't sing it the way to give it justice, but I tell you, it's time to come back home. If you wandered away from the cross somewhere, young man, young lady, whatever age you are, it's not too late to come back to God. There is a God that's got his arms open, and he's so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And whosoever will, that includes you, that includes me, and every person on the face of planet Earth, that he has made provision. He didn't make a hell for people, but he made it for the devil and his angels. Oh, praise God. Well, I'm gonna just lighten up here a minute, let Joanna say something, and maybe we'll get somebody back on here a little bit. Yeah. There you go, Joanna. Have it there.
Praise the Lord.
God.
Hallelujah. Good preaching tonight. And, you know, he was talking there about the way the country's heading and different nations there, how they turn their back on the Lord and they're not serving the true and living God. And you know, I was thinking in the book of, praise the Lord, Hosea, 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. So for the lack of knowledge, these folks, God's going to not even remember them because they have forgotten the Lord, and they don't know the ways of God. And Job 8 and 8 says, for inquire, I pray thee. This is Job's friend was talking to Job and says, for inquire, I pray thee, to the former age, and prepare thyself to search of their fathers. For we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon the earth are shadow. Verse 10 says, shall not they teach thee and tell thee the utter words out of their heart? And so looking at 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 10 through 20, Josiah, he was the king at that time. In verse 10 it says, and Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Kelkim the son of Shaphan, and Achbar the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Ashia the servant of the king, saying, and I'm going somewhere with this message. I know exactly what the Lord's wanting me to do here. Go ye inquire the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all of Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according to all that which is written concerning us. So Hilkiah, the priest of Hekam, and Shebar, and Shaphan, and Ashiah, went into Jeldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shillam, the son of Kelva, the son of Hilkiah, the keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her, and said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell me, man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. Because they hath forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands, therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. Let me tell you how to have a revival in your country. If you get rid of all your prophets of Baal, and you tear down all the strongholds of the false pagan gods, and you get rid of the burning of the incense to other gods, and you serve the true living God, and you get, they, Josiah even went and got the bones, and he burned them, and of the forefathers that had done evil against God, and a great revival took place after he done all these things, and he rent his clothes. He was so angry that his fathers didn't tell him. And you know, I was thinking about Independence Day was yesterday. And you know, our president wants to say to the children, to the colleges, that not to celebrate the 4th of July. And the reason he told them not to celebrate the 4th of July said because we done Great Britain wrong. But let me tell you, it was freedom of religion why we came over here. It wasn't taxation by representation that was part of it. It was number 7. On the list of the Declaration of the Independence, there was 27, praise God, independence issues there, and on 17 was taxation of representation. But in the beginning of there, like list 1 and 2 and 3, it was all about freedom of religion and the breakaway. They wanted to end slavery. Yes, they did. They wanted to end slavery, and a lot of our history teaches that Abraham Lincoln, that he's the one stopped the slavery. But I got news for the everybody out there that they wanted to stop it from the very get-go, but the King George over in Great Britain wanted to keep it going. So we didn't do Great Britain wrong. We had to break away from there so we can serve God. And this here, this separation of state and church and church and state, that is not that the state come in and the government come in and tell us that we can't do certain things about worshiping our God and Jesus Christ. It was that the state would stay out of the business of the religion. Whenever there was assemblies and things like that, the state was to stay out of it. That's what that's all about, and they've got it all twisted around. Let me tell you, if our country would turn back to God, we'll see something happen. We'll see a great move of God. We'll see a great revival. And the Christians all across the world, if you tear down your idols and get rid of the pagan and the false gods, I tell you, God will intervene and he will show up and he'll give you a double portion that Job had gotten. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Can you hear me, Brother Yewood?
Yeah, I hear you.
I want to make sure I'm still on here. I didn't know. Praise God. In verse 19, 2 Kings, because thine heart was tender and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, they that should become desolation and a curse, and has rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Verse 20, behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered unto thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the eye which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again, and I was thinking in 2 Kings in chapter 23, and the king said, sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judea and Jerusalem. And the kings went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem was with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he had read in their ear all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book, and all the people stood to the covenant. This is teaching us the mind of God. This is what God wants us to do. He wants the countries all over the world to turn back to him.
Yes, first, amen.
And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priest of the second older, and the keeper of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, and for the grove, and for all the hosts of heaven, and burn them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them into Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priest, whom the king of Judah had ordained to burn incense to the high places of the cities of Judah, and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that buried incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the hosts of heaven. God is mad. God's mad today because the forefathers of America back in the 1800s, when they wrote the Constitution, it was all under the name of Jesus Christ. And it was all written according to the Bible, the Constitution, and the Declaration of Independence. And, you know, they've taken all the religious part and around 1927, history was rewritten and they started to take out the religious points, our history, making the history about economics. And that's what it was not meant to be for, about the economics. It was all about God. And John Quincy Adams, he was also known as a great hellhound of slavery. He wanted to end slavery. He even used in his speech, Luke 4, setting at liberty the captive. He used that. He used the word of God because he wanted to see the captive free, which were the slaves at that time. And verse 6 of 2 Kings chapter 23, and he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem into the brook of Kedron, and burned in the brook of Kedron, and stamped it a small powder, and cast powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites. that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. And he brought all the priests out of the city of Judah and defiled the high priest, the high places where the priests had buried incense, from Geba to Beersheba, and break down the high priests and the gates that were in the entering of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Trophith, which is in the valley of the children of Hanum, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. They was passing them through the fire before Josiah. They were serving false gods. And he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the son at the entering of the house. He got rid of everything. And the altars that were on the top of the upper chamber of Asa, which the king of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made to the two courts of the house of the Lord, did the king beat down and break them down from thence and cast dust of them into the brook. So, and he got rid of everything that was abomination, the Sodomites. He got rid of all that, everything that was offered up to Baal. And he burned the groves. And skipping on down to 16, and as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulcher that were there in the mount, and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchers and burned them upon the altar, and polluted it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. And there was one of the bones that the Bible talks about how it was a man of God, and he let that one alone. And verse 18, he didn't touch that one. So that's what these countries in our country, we have to do, is we have to turn back to Jesus Christ. We have to turn back to God and tear down the strongholds of the devil and get rid of all the idols and the ungodly music and all the satanic worship and everything that's unlike God, that's very ungodly. And we'll have freedom. We'll have our freedom back. And all the other countries will have freedom as well, if we'll just turn back to the Lord. And that's what we're talking about tonight, is liberty and freedom. So I'm studying here on American history and the Bible. You know, I never had no interest in studying American history in the past. Didn't want anything to do with it. But now to hear that things are beginning to change, and I know that this hasn't been right, I think it's good for us to learn our American history and find out what our forefathers back in the 1800s, back in the 1776, when on July the 4th, when we became a country and we broke free from Great Britain. We need to learn and study this. Josiah did. He learned of that book, and he found out that his forefathers were wrong. And all in the 1900s, and all the scholars and their writings, how they've turned the Constitution and how they've turned the Declaration of Independence to be all about economics, was all wrong. And if we could find the books before 1900s and the originals, that's what it is. It's the original books. If we can get a hold of them and look at them and read them, it's so important how they brought God into prayer ever before all the meetings. They would pray first to Jesus. In the assemblies, they would pray. The capital of our country was once a church. And the Marine Corps was the choir. Praise God. God is so good. And they've taken all that out. They've taken all that away. And act like it never happened. And they blotted it out like it just never happened. But it did happen. And our children don't even know. And our college kids don't even know. They're studying history books. It's not even real. That's not even right. That's been edited. That's been altered. Over 100 times, George Washington, way back in the 1800s, there was good books about George Washington. And started in the 1926, some man got this big idea to change what George Washington was like. And then from 1930, another writer came along and he took the writings of 1926 of George Washington and he added his say to it. In 1940, the writer made his say about it. Until 100 times it's been written over. And it's all going back to the 1926 when that was corrupted. And they've made George Washington a bad person. They made him out a liar. And he was a good man of God. Praise God. We need to learn this. We need to learn. We need to study about our country, about our history. And more importantly, we need to study our Word of God. Because they're changing it. They're changing it. They're changing the Word of God to the children. It's going to be just like the books of George Washington. They're not going to know the truth because it's going to be changed 100 times over. And they're going to be taking it out. But God said he'd write it on the tables of her heart. He said, not one jot, not one tittle will pass. Praise the Lord. And he said, we cannot live, praise the Lord, on bread alone, but with every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's what we need to live by. And it's a good thing to study our history. But more importantly, to study our Bible and hold it to our heart as Jesus had when John laid his head on the breast of Jesus. I want to lay my head in the breast of Jesus and hold dear to him. I want to be like that soldier that David had that clave to his sword, his hand claved. And I want to just hold my face like a flint like Jesus did and not turn to the left, but look straight ahead toward Christ. And not be wavering, not be double-minded, praise God. Not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but have a sound doctrine. Hallelujah. And we'll turn it back to Brother Green.
Well, it's kind of different tonight. No, nobody's offended. Praise God. But I tell you, it's time people need to stand up and they need to take notice what's going on in this country. A lot of people listens in to this broadcast, I know, in America. And I tell you, I'm proud to be an American. Yes. And I'm glad for the freedom we have and the flag that flies, you know, for us. Because that stands for liberty and justice for all. At one time, this country had more freedoms than what it does today. But you know, they're changing the laws. And, you know, I believe it was 2 Thessalonians talks about the mystery of iniquity doth already work. You know, it's an antichrist spirit that has got into our school systems. And what it does is it brings bondage and it robs our children. It robs our children of freedom that they could have in Christ. You know, when they try to take the Bible out and they try to take the Word of God out of everything that our school children do, you know, it's robbing our children. It's putting them in bondage, and it's a tyrant act, if you ask me. And we got a caller here. Joanna, get him on.
937-367, come in.
Joanna?
Yes.
Okay, I want to hear in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. This is what all the Christians and all of America needs to do. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Praise the Lord. That's what we all need to do. We need to pray for this nation, that we get back on our knees, and we pray that when the pilgrims came over here, they come over here to escape that King George and the tyranny that was there. They came over here to have religious freedom, and that's what we need to do. We need to get back to God, like this country did. You know, everybody at one time was not saved in this country, but they had a deep respect for God. And now this country is losing that. They're losing the respect they once had for God, and this country needs to get back on their knees and ask the Lord to forgive them of their sins and seek the face of God. And the Lord will hear if they will turn from the wicked ways. He says, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's what I've got to say. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Back over to you. Praise God.
Amen. We got another caller here on 706-483. Come in and tell us who you are.
Hey, Joanna, Sister Joanna and Brother Green. This is Brother Tony down here in Dalton, Georgia. I ain't been able to get on the past few episodes, but I've just been always on the go and everything. But I like to say I love the Lord tonight, and I appreciate God, and I appreciate His blessings. And I tell you what, just sitting here listening to the broadcast here, and I have another scripture on my heart, but I just want to come out a verse right here in 2 Samuel chapter 23. This right here, it's really close to my heart. I preached on this one time at church, and this is just one of those messages that never left my mind, and it just always comes to my mind every day. And it's 2 Samuel chapter 23. It talks about when the Israelites was going to go to war with the Philistines. And the Philistines had so many men that the Israelites began to back out of the battle. But it says that David, King David, had with him a few men that was willing to stand up for God, for what belonged to God, for what belonged to the Israelites, for what belonged to their people. And I want to talk about one of those men right here in verse 9. His name is Eliezer. And keep in mind, like I said, the Israelites began to back away because they were so intimidated of the Philistines. And it says in verse 9, 2 Samuel 23, verse 9, and after him was Eliezer, the son of Judah, the Aholot, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defeated the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. And he's talking about Eliezer here, verse 10. It says, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand cleaved into the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him on with his spoil. You know, Eliezer here, I just want to break this down a little bit, but Eliezer here was one of the few men that was not intimidated by the Philistines. It was one of the few men that decided that he was going to go to battle. He was going to pick up his sword and go to battle and defend his nation. He was going to fight for what belongs to God. He was going to fight for what belonged to his people. He was going to fight for what belonged to his family. And it said he did that by picking up his sword. And even when he was tired, even when he was weary, he never dropped his sword, but he continued to fight, church. I tell you, if there's ever been a time that Christian folks need to fight for their freedom and for Jesus Christ, it's now. If there's ever been a time that God's people ought to fight for their rights, to believe a certain way, if there's ever been a time for God's people to believe in Jesus Christ, it's time now. Because I'm telling you, church, we're seeing so many things come against the Christian world today. They say it's getting more freedom in this land by homosexual marriage. They say they're getting freedom in the world by giving women the option to have abortions. But let me tell you something, church. They're not getting freedom. They're getting bondage. Bondage. But, church, I believe that it's time that God's people picked up the word of God and show the people that are out there lost, show this government, show this world what real freedom is, and that is the peace of God, the love of God. And I'm talking about we, the Christians, need to be like Eliezer here, pick up our sword, which is the word of God, pick up that sword and fight for what belongs to God, fight for what belongs to this nation, fight for what belongs to God's children, fight for what is right by believing, by going to prayer, by being prayer warriors, by staying straight up and prayed up and stay, and being all, being prepared to proclaim God's word when everybody else around you is against you. Be ready to stand. And when it looks like everything's coming against you, church, I begin to think about this, and I begin to think about the recently this week about the homosexuals, the rights, the so-called rights that they've been given. And I begin to think that it looks like this nation is going down the drain. But I believe that, church, if we can stare at Eliezer and begin to fast, begin to pray, and begin to say, God, I'm not going to let this country go down without a fight. God, I'm not going to let this country go down without somebody willing to pray. God, I'm not going to let this country go down without somebody willing to seek your face for this nation. Church, I believe God can show something up if we can get down and get some shit with God. You know, we see youth. We see a youth that's falling away. We see a youth that's falling away into drugs and alcohol and suicide and homosexuality. Such the world out there is seeing the youth that's falling away. But I believe that God can still see youth, this next generation coming up. I believe God can see this next generation coming up that can bring back those Holy Ghost filled revivals, that can bring back those Holy Ghost filled services, that can bring back those Holy Ghost filled prayers, that can bring back the Word of God. I believe that God can still do that if we get some share with God and we get on the fire line for Jesus Christ. Get out there on the battlefield, pick up our sword, and begin to fight like Eliezer did. We begin to fight, we begin to proclaim God's word when everybody else is against us and say, I know what real freedom is. I know that freedom lies in the hands of Jesus Christ. Church, I'll tell you, homosexuality is not freedom. Abortion is not freedom. Drugs is not freedom. That's all bondage. Real freedom comes from Jesus Christ, because the word of God says, who the Son says free, is free indeed. And if you believe you've been free tonight, we can have that same spirit of encouragement like Eliezer had to pick up the word of God and defend our country, to pick up the word of God and defend our God, defend our Jesus, defend the Holy Ghost, defend what is true freedom. We got that right tonight, church. I believe God is dealing with somebody tonight. God is dealing with somebody tonight to pick up their word, to pick up their sword, get some shield with God, get on the fire line, and take a hold of God's word, and let's defend this country. Not just me, not just Sister Green, not just Brother Green, not just Brother Yearwood and Sister Yearwood, but all of us together. If we can just get on that battlefield together, if we can just stand on that front line together, and defend our country with the word of God. We don't have to defend it with a gun. We don't have to defend it with a natural sword. We don't have to defend it with anything but the word of God. And the word of God will speak for itself. I love to say I love the Lord tonight. I thank God for giving me the opportunity to speak on the broadcast tonight. I thank you, Brother and Sister Green, for giving me the opportunity. You're a blessing in our life, and I've been keeping up with you on Facebook, and I thank the Lord for what y'all are doing out there, and I praise God every day for people like the Green family and the Yearwood family. Just keep doing what you're doing, because you're on the battlefield for the Lord, and y'all just keep us in your prayer and our church, Barnett Full Gospel, and keep our ministry, me and Brother Nick, got it's like fire ministries, and just keep praying that whatever we do God's will, and we obey God and just let Him lead us. And we love to say we love y'all, and God bless you, and I appreciate you. Go ahead.
Amen.
Sister Green?
Yes, brother.
Sister Green, this is Eddie. I've got a man by the name of Brandon Jones. His feet is in real bad shape, and the doctor said if he didn't If they didn't get better, he may lose both of his feet, and I'd like to put him on this prayer request tonight.
Absolutely. Let's pray now, Brother Eddie, over all the rest.
Thank you, Lord. God Almighty.
Lord, in the name of Jesus, God.
Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, Lord, we pray, Father.
Lord,
for each one, Lord, that's been given a request in tonight.
Lord,
we pray, Father, tonight, that God, that you would love to each one, Lord.
Father, we
pray. Father, these are sick, Lord, that you would move, God, and let the healing work of Christ go forth, Lord. God, touch them, Father. Lord, I pray, God, and raise them up, Lord, and heal them, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord. This Brandon Jones, that you'd move for him, and God, that you'd touch his feet, God, and Lord, that they'd be healed, Lord, and God, that he would move his feet, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I just pray, God, that you would move for each and every one, Lord, God, tonight, that give us prayer request in, poor Lord, that you'd just move into their bodies, Lord, and move in every need they've got, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
We'll see y'all next Friday, same time, 10 p.m. Eastern time, next Friday night. God bless y'all.